Okay. Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Vayera. It's the Parshas of the Nisyonos of Abraham Avinu, and it culminates in the Akedah, which the Parshas responds to the Akedah. I tell you that the Kirelu came out of. So we know Avraham Avinu, his midah, which is he's known through the generations, Avraham represents the midah al-pi Kabbalah. He's the midah of Chesed. He spoke about the fact that Avraham Avinu, because I'll talk about, he was the Rosh HaMaminim, he was able to come to Makar Kadosh Baruch Hu on his own, understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the point he had such a clarity that he was able to stand on one side. Avraham Ivri, he stood on one side, and the whole world stood on the other side. He had such a clarity. Then he goes through a process of nisyonos, starting with Lech Lecha. Chayes Rishonim, what exactly are the 10 nisyonos? But the Mishnah says clearly there are 10 nisyonos. And the final result of the culmination of that, he gets the title of being Yirei Elokim. So he's the Baal Chesed, he's the Maimon, he's the Yirei Elokim. The final title, which we know that he's referred to later on, the Kadosh Baruch Hu refers to him as Avram Nevuas, etc., Avram Avdi, Avram Oyavi. He has the title of being the one who serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to focus in on the title of Yirei Elokim. So the Mesil Sharim in his Akdama says that this pasuk really contains in it all of the elements of what it means to avoid the avoid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk talks about Yira, talks about Olechus B'chol Derocha, talks about Tzla Abba Yisoy, Ola Avdai. And the Mesil Sharim divides it into the five elements. The first one the pasuk refers to is Yira. Teaching the Gemara, the pasuk, so what told you so? Moshe Malkecho Shemim Moch. What does Moshe want for you? He wants from you Yira. He wants the Lechus B'chol Derochav. He wants Moshe. I don't want too much. I just like you to have Yir Shemayim, Avas Hashem, do all of the mitzvahs, follow Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Not too much. Like that's not too much, you know. I mean, but that being said, Chazal seemed to reduce the pasuk to Yir Shemayim. Kol B'deshemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. The pasuk doesn't stop by Yir Shemayim. The pasuk goes on and has a few other things that it wants also. But Chazal saw that the Yir Shemayim is the crux, is the defining element, and everything else is going to come in its wake. If a person has that the Yira that the pasuk is referring to, which a Kadosh Baruch Hu was requesting that we have, and he leaves in our hands to have, if we have that, everything else will follow suit, apparently, a Chazal understanding of that. And what is this year that we're referring to? So we know that there's referred to the reference that there's two types of year. There's what's referred to as Yiras Einish. There's referred to as Yiras Haravimus. We're coming off of the Yom and the Royim. It's already Gimel Cheshvan. So it's a month. It's a month has passed since Rosh Hashanah. Some people. Grapple with the pachad of Misa. Most people do not seem to be bothered by it, but there are some people which attack take it very seriously. And we're sort of grappling with the relationship which we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're set to have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu was really sitting there and judging us. So our loving Father in heaven, Avinu Malkeinu, who is busy deciding whether we're going to live or die, it's difficult to sort of grapple with that. We walk around with the pocket of the din, so it's like, you know. So one Baal Musar says, you know, it says so basically, you feel like a Kadosh Baruch Hu was like the Arita Reif waiting to get you, you know. Right? That's not a very healthy way to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mesil Sharm says that the Iker of a year is not Yiras Einish. The Iker year is not the year from the din. The Iker year is the year from a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, which he refers to as Yiras Haravimus. He says, when a person would walk into a Melech Gadol, he says, he would stand there awestruck. A person, first time he goes, would go into such a situation. We don't have kings, we don't have such a picture. Right? I remember the first time, the only time in my life I saw Ramosha. Yaakov said, I was by a few times, but I was by Moshe once. Moshe is a chliv rachel one time. We went to New York for a chasna. So we clap, like, you know, Zanish Kenar, you know, that, you know, don't be a fool, you're here in New York already, we should go see Moshe. So next morning we decided we'll daven in MTJ. So we didn't figure we're not going to drive to that downtown Manhattan, forget it. We got some directions how to take the train, this, we got the time for davening, and Moshe came in for davening. He wasn't feeling so well, but he came in for davening. Now, first of all, it was a total mistake to do that, because I could not daven a word. I was busy staring at Moshe the whole time. Should have davened first and then went, right? And then you were watching everything he was doing. Then after davening, we'd almost say something like him to him, and he wasn't up to shaking our hands, but he spoke to us a little bit where we came from, you know. And you know, you're there in this, and you feel this presence of how small you are, the presence of such a great person. You feel the feeling of katnus. In the presence of godless, that's Yiras HaRamimus. The Rambam describes the concept of the year. The Rambam said it to our Perek Beis. He says that the person comes to the recognition that he's a beria afela, he's a dark shvela, lowly creation. He's a nothing. The Fnei Kel Tumim Deis, in front of the Creator, which is the Tumim Deis, which has the perfect understanding of everything, etc. It's that awareness of that's the year that we're supposed to have. It's not a year of pachad. It's a year of, we're awestruck. We're awestruck of what we're standing in the presence of. The Ramah, the first Ramah, and Aruch Chaim, which is the first Ramah of Shulchan Aruch, talks about the concept of Shishis Emunah Disamid. So we're way away from the Shishis Emunah Disamid, right? You know, in some places, the minigs are put on the Amid, that phrase, what do we put in heaven on our Amid? Like, you know, that's how bite we are from it. Right? He says, when you live in awareness of standing in front of the King, you know, so imagine you're standing in Moshe's presence. So you're not going to joke around. You're not even probably want to eat. You're not going to do it. You're standing in front of a Melech Gadol. You're not going to be yourself, shall we say. You're going to stand there like this, you know, just to be very careful, like what you're going to do and what you're going to say and how you're going to do it. A person stands in the presence of the presence of the Melech. He doesn't open his mouth, the Ramah says, the way a person would normally open his mouth. And he doesn't talk the way a person would normally talk. And he stands there with that understanding, that clarity. A katan lifnei anok. A small person next to a giant. That's the hargosha. For whatever reason, the Baruch Hashem in his wisdom decided to make that very hard for us. Because we are grappling at that moment with the clarity of that moment of understanding. The human being stands in front of his Creator. Is a moment where a human being says, I'm a creation. I don't really have independent existence. I'm really not totally up to myself. The Baruch Hashem left that decision up to us to come to that clarity, but that clarity is very difficult because we don't like to negate, as it were, that feeling of our independent existence. I said over before that the Taurus of Rum, Rebbe Rob Grodzitsky, understands the chet of Adam Arishan. And the following, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the conversation takes place between Antoninus and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Antoninus, the Roman Caesar, asks Rabbeinu HaKadosh, at what point does the Yetzer Hara enter into the child, which is at the moment of conception or the moment of later? So Rabbi says it's the moment of conception. That the Yetzer Hara is part of your being. It happens at the moment of conception. Saturninus is back in Cain, boy vima v'yotzei. The child would kick through the mother's the rechem and come out can't be. If he'd have a Yetzirah, he would come out. So Rebbe says, you're right. It's a good kasha. Must be it's besas later. That's possible. The Pesach Chatas Roivitz. The person says the kai. So Avram Gratzinski Shemin Kumdomoy Shtels, what exactly is this Yetzirah? What is Yetzirah selling? Right? Yetzirah is always selling something, right? What's he selling? So here's the child. Chazal said, the Mor Nidah says that a child in B'me'imoy is living in the best moments of his life. Kiyarchi Kedem, Erev says, I wish I could go back like Kiyarchi Kedem, like the months of Kedem of yore. What is that? Chazal says, referring to the child for the 9 months the child lives in his mother's stomach. It's Shuri and Toy, which is no comparison to the rest of his life. Whatever, we have such a life. It sees Mesefer Elam HaTzoyfei, it learns Kol Torah Kula, it has everything that it needs, it's totally taken care of, it has all of its needs, it's totally happy. So what's Yetzirah selling? Number one. Number two, child is by being of a year, so the child dies, because he's not ready to come out to the air yet. He can't handle it yet. He's not ready for it yet. So he will die. So Yetzirah is saying, listen, you have Kol Tuv Shebar Elam, it's perfect, it's great, it's wonderful, but I'm offering you something which is so geschmack to you that you're willing to die for it. What is he offering? He's offering independence. He's offering not being enclosed in the walls of the Rechem. That's all he's offering. He's offering the feeling of you can be whatever you want to be. It's like, you know, you deal with teenagers, you know, the certain sort of teenager, you know, like, you know, if you leave him on his own devices, he wouldn't do it. But if you tell him not to do it, he says he's going to do it. He knows it's bad for him. But if you told me, I'm going to do it. Because I want to be my own person. But you know it's bad for you. I know that. I don't care. But once you told me, I have to. I have no choice. Like, you get this, like, you know, like, what does that mean? Because I need to assert my independence. That's the Yetzirah. I know that I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to, it's going to make me ill. I don't care. We might die. I don't care. But I get to show that I can do whatever I want. Okay. This is automation. Darshan says, listen, you know the shit you're going to eat if you're going to die. I said, no problem. I'm interested in doing it because I can do whatever I want. Schmack. That's the Yetzirah itself. That means that the most primal Yetzirah that we have is the feeling we do not want to give away our independence. And we're told by Yetzirah that by doing so, we lose our status of beings. We're going to be nothings. And the other option is keep some kelukim. You can do whatever you want. Your mamash God. Like, those are the two choices. Either you can mamash be, you do whatever you want, and you're it. Or alternatively, you can become a nothing, and you end up just having no existence. You're submitting your whole existence to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's nothing. That's the Yetzirah's sales pitch. That was an historian of Avraham Rishon. Avraham Avinu is called upon to rectify this nisoy, to rectify this hate. Avraham Avinu is called upon to be that Adam Gadol Banokim, Lashon of the Pasuk. The Adam Gadol Banokim, that great man who was able to understand that godless is submission. This is a room of men, you know. I can talk about this freely. Yeah? There's a funny Gemara. You know, Gemara Gilim Brachas last year. The Gemara says Gedola Avtocha Shenimeres LaNoshim. The Avtocha which is given to the women is greater than the Avtocha which is given to the men. Right? Noshim Shananos. They're relaxed. They're everything. Have it fine, etc. The Gemara also continues. It says Noshim Maizach. And what's their schus? Their schus is very simple. They take their children to the Mikra Dardiki to learn. And they wait for their husbands to come home. That's it. That's all they got to do. You know, it's like, you have 613 mitzvahs, and they have two things. They have to drive carpool to and fro from school, take their kids to school and back. And they wait for their husbands. That's it. Gemaldi, right? That's Gedol Avtochas and Meres LaNoshim Noshim Shananos. They have it poshut good. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? So we live in a society, and this is the Yetzer Hara, but, you know, this is the, you know, the culmination of generations of perfecting this Yetzer Hara. That Gadlus is recognition. Gadlus is that your name is up there in big lights on the marquee over there, and it says, presenting, you know, Eli Reingold. Right? In, start, you know, whatever, like, you know, and then it says, who cares? It's not important what the movie's about, as long as my name is big lot, you know. When the authors, when they write a new book, it's like, you know, the first one, the title is very big, and the author's name is very small. If it's successful, so the next book, the author's name is a little bit larger, and the title is a little bit smaller. Eventually, it gets to the point, the name of the author is very big, and who cares what he wrote, but it's him! That's godless in this, our society. You've made it. You're a somebody because everybody knows you. And godless in Torah is a human being who's able to put somebody else's needs in front of theirs and to serve somebody else. That a person can say, this woman can be the smartest woman. Her name is Bruria. She's the smartest woman in the world. She might be the smartest man in the world. She might be smarter than all the men in the world. But she doesn't need to have her name in the lights. She's willing to find her godless by helping somebody else be successful. And Bereshit gave women a nature, a propensity to do that. So our society doesn't like that, so they're working on making women like men and destroying that mile that women have. No, you want to be noticed, you want to be a feel, you want people to know about you, and you should become the rabbi. Like, you know, it's not fair, you know. Chas v'sholem, you should enjoy the fact that you're helping out somebody else. You should get recognition. You can feel emotionally bad if you don't. Bad for your psyche. You know, right? Like, wake up. You know. G'day l'haftacha. The godless in Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu. What's his godless? He served Arabs. You know, imagine that. You know, I don't know. You know, imagine, like, you know, to define. You know, okay, we'll take, you know, Abu Chatzera, right? You know, right, Baba Sali, right? What's his godless? You know, Baba Sali. He's looking. He knows. His godless. You know, an Arab walks by and he picks a little boy and he kisses, gives him something to eat, breakfast. Ah, godless in Torah. That's godless in Klal Yisrael. That's Avraham Avinu. Because that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu's godless is giving, not taking. But to do that, you've got to take yourself out of the picture. And that's Yiras HaRemus. What am I? Who am I? I'm nothing. Therefore, you can come to Madrega of Lelechus B'chol Derochem. You want to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu and be Lelechus B'chol Derochem and give like a Kodesh Baruch Hu as a Meitiv. And you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have room in your heart to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you can be Shemar Kol HaMitzvos and etc., etc., etc. And it is hard, like the Dickens. Adam Rishon didn't make it. So now, there's something called Yiras HaOynish. So Yiras HaOynish, what's that for, right? It's just an initial of the four, right? I just came across, I mentioned the Sefer about Tzoschus and Cheni. He brings a story, which is such a gewaltige Upteich. So I'm here talking to you, and you know your mind hopefully is I'm you know getting it right, and you know and your body's saying, oh, excuse me, mehechatesi, right? So he said the story of this. You know, a person was working with a Russian boy came there. So the boy was became very involved in learning, etc. The boy didn't have a bris mila. Now, Chastei Hashem, we always know why Russian gives a bris mila to 8-day-old babies, because they don't have to think about it. Because you have to make the decision about doing a bris mila when you're 20 years old. It is quite a scary undertaking. And this kid had a pachad, mamash a pachad gadol from having a bris mila. It took him 2 years to make peace with the fact that he has to do a bris mila. Finally, he said he's doing the bris mila, and it was like right before Pesach. He said he wants to do the bris mila. She comes to Yomtov with the bris mila, and he contacts the you know it's Eretz Yisrael, so everything is bureaucracy with red tape, etc. You know he contacts the Kupat Cholim, you know, and the Kitzer, the Mechlaka, which deals with that, is closed for Yomtov already 3 days beforehand. So the boy says, no, I'm doing this now, you know. So he gets his Rashiva involved. And Rashiva contacts, you know, this member of the Chavra Knesset. He contacts another Chavra Knesset. The kids are, he turns over God's Eretz Yisrael to get this Machlaka opened up. Erev Pesach, they're going to make a Bris Milah. Kids, by the time they already have this Bris Milah, it's called for like 10 o'clock in the morning, Erev Pesach. So the Rashiva obviously is going to come already, and then they know the Chavra Knesset is going to come. Other Chavra Knesset is going to come. Again, so who's who of Eretz Yisrael comes and lines up, and the Bachar's not there. They wait a half an hour, they wait an hour, they wait an hour and a half. He's not there. They call him up, they can't reach him. He's not coming. Now, did the boy want to have a Bris Milah? Of course he wanted a Bris Milah. I mean, he didn't do this for fun. Right? He turned over, he was clearly sincere enough that he was able to convince his Rosh Hashiva and the Chavra Knesset, another Chavra Knesset, and the and God's, you know, God's Eretz Yisrael is already convinced, he's ready. He's serious. That's here. But his body says, I'm not interested, I'm scared out of my mind. That's where Yerush HaNish comes in. Yerush HaNish says, listen, body, let's get this straight. You're going to burn in Gehenna and it's going to hurt. Oh, okay, I'm interested. Right? You got to speak into the language, you got to speak into the language of the body. Right? The mafia knows how to speak the language of the body. You know, they don't say, listen, intellectually it's such a good idea for you, we're convinced you. They don't do any of that language. They seem very straight to the point. That's Yira so Irish. But that's not what Yira is. Thinking the mafioso techniques is Yira Shemayim is like, you know, it's missing something. That's not what it's about. But it's a hechel tibshus to help you get to where you have to get to. Avraham Avinu didn't. I tell you that you're like him out because plus he was scared. What's going to be? Whether you're going to get Kehanim or not? Avraham Avinu had awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, but what does this story tell you? Comes Yom the Royim, and we really want to change. We really do, and we're sincere, totally sincere. We're sincere. And we dive in Yom Kippur, and you ask the person, are you ready for another Yom Kippur? He says, I'm asking. Yom Kippur was so beautiful, so geschmack, so gewaldig, I felt so good, felt so sincere, so convinced. I'm ready to do it again. But now I got to translate it to Lamaisa, and you know, somewhere from here to here, it doesn't go. It doesn't go. So that means, oh, it's a riot, I didn't really want. No. It's a riot, you haven't learned how to speak the language. That's the problem. We're not questioning your sincerity. We're not questioning your years, Haraimimus. We're not questioning your awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not questioning any of that. You have it, you zayich to it, you recited it, came from the Royim, you had that glimpse of understanding, of that emotion, that feeling. It was a true feeling, and we're not going to deny that. We have a problem. You have not learned how to translate it into a language which will talk to last 5 months, what? The last 3 weeks, Ben Hazman. And if the last 3 weeks in his mind, the guy comes and says, you know, oh, winter, it's not 5 months, you know, like, you know, till Pesach, you know. I made a commitment, I'm going to really learn Reish Shtark, you know, I start thinking, but you know what that means, you know, that's one day, and the next day, and the next, you know. All of a sudden, it's the grind. What do? I mean, I'm not sincere. No, I was insincere. I didn't really. I don't want to be. I want to be a Ben Torah. The boy wanted a Bris Milah. He wanted a Bris Milah with his ganzkeit, almost ganzkeit with his mind, with his understanding, with his clarity. He had a clarity that this is what he wants to do. But somewhere along the goof said, "I'm not interested." You can't ignore your goof. So we spoke about those other years, we spoke about the process of tshuva is a process of finding a way to speak to the goof. Now, goof is not very good on long-term deals. Even you're so honest, like it's not a great thing for the goof. You know, listen, in 60 years from now, if you make it that long, you know, right? Like, yes, guy, you know, how is he having the Roy? I don't know, I'll find out next year. Like, you know, I mean, like, that's also too long, you know. How'd it go? Rav Lassi says, that's the guy says, says, what Rebbe Sukkos says, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to be with Sukkos, we don't talk like that. We're not there. We're not, Gehenim, the fires of Gehenim, I don't know about you, but the fires of Gehenim, it should be scare us, they don't scare us. They say the Stipe said the start of our generation, we don't have a year of Gehenim. We don't talk about Gehenim. Gehenim is off limits. Gehenim is too scary. Our generation can't handle that. Anything more than, you take a Rishis Chochman, there's a section called Masechus Gehenim. It's like very geschmack stuff to read, he really gets into it, describing it. He gives different types of. But you don't get to pick. It's like, I'll take that one over that one. It doesn't work like that, But it's not talking to us. But what does talk to us? There are emotions which talk to us. The emotions are a frustration. The emotions are a lack of self-respect. You know what? Right now you might give in to, but you're going to be frustrated with yourself. You're going to hate yourself for this. You know that you're going to be, your self-esteem is going to be lowered by it. You know you're not going to be happy with yourself. You know all these things. The problem is you don't think about them when you're about to do whatever you're about to do. Whether it's positive or negative, I would like to learn. I really would like to learn. I'm really not happy. But at the end of the day, person makes a question. Okay, how much did I learn today? Well, it's 24 hours. Okay, I got 10 minutes in here. Then there was a 20-minute coffee break. And I got another 14 minutes over there. I broke Hashem. I was 34 minutes during first Seder. You're not going to be happy with yourself. Good, so you start saying excuses. I can't do more. I can't handle it. It's not my fault. It's my Caruso's fault. But it's all a way to say you can't live with yourself like that. The problem is you only wait till the end of the day to find that out. Or, if you're really good, you make sure that you don't think about the end of the day either. You have an honor of the day which didn't go well. You have a bull session at nighttime before you go to bed. To stay up to who knows when, so this way you can be zeichet to have a repeat performance the next day. So then you really feel good about yourself. And by the end of the week, you're convinced that you're a rush. So I'm a rush anyway. So what am I worried about? What's enough to mean anyway? Once had a chaver came to me. Never, he was having real emotional issues. He says, "Listen, I'm going to Gehenim anyway. I just want to get it over with already. Let's just do it now." He was serious. I'm saying it as a joke, but the guy was serious. We had to talk him down from attempting something drastic. But that's Yetzirah. It's Yetzirah totally. And again, and the reason why we feel like that is because our minds, our sincerity is true. We're not happy with it. We do have a year of Saramimus. We do have a year of awareness of this is not what our calling is. This is not what we want to accomplish. We do have that awareness. The Kiddush of Rav Avinu was he was able to translate that into his goof. And we find that difficult. So I'm not advocating, learning. I'm not advocating learning Rishis Chochma, Masechtas Gehenim. I'm not. If you want, you could. It has the potential for causing dangers. There's also a saver called Binyan Oilam, which I'm also not advocating that you should learn. On record, you shouldn't learn it. But to think. To stop and think, use that Caleb which Hashem gave us called the mind to talk to the goof and say, you're not going to be happy with this. You were much happier the day that you actually sat and learned. You felt so much better about yourself. You felt so good about it. Your emotions were so positive. The day that you came to davening and you didn't oversleep and you didn't have to give an excuse, you didn't have to walk in, So the first time you walk in, it's like you feel like a mamash is like an oisvorf. Right? I remember the first day, I say dear shoes, it's 5:45 in the morning. And once in a while, I stay up late, So once in a while, it happens, you oversleep. First time I overslept, and I came in, I was so embarrassed. There's this whole cover of like eight people waiting for me. And I walk in, at 6:15, I said, Rangel overslept. it was really embarrassing. It really was. The second time was also embarrassing. I'm not saying it happened right back to back, but you know, but over a period of years, you know, listen, that's what happened. This is the way I am. You know, sometimes I oversleep. I'm not saying it's a healthy thing. I really would like to have that emotion. Like, you know, I don't want to be the guy who oversleeps. I have 8 people waiting for me. LMI one, I shouldn't stay up so late, so I have to work on that. It's not geschmack to come late to davening. It's not geschmack to say lashon hara. It's not geschmack. I mean, it's geschmack, but shasmaitz. But after you say, why did I do that? Why did I hurt somebody? I'm not happy. You're not happy with yourself. The challenge that we have to do is to find a way to remind ourselves beforehand what it's going to feel like afterwards. That's our avodah of yiras ha'onish. And the onish which we're talking about is our own self-deposed demons that we feel like afterwards. That's it. That's all you need. I'm going to feel like an absolute uncomfortable, not happy with myself, idiot, after I did it again. Like, I this time I'm going to start the conversation. I'm not going to bother the rest of Seder. I mean, you know the Rav Shlomo Shadron says, he's called Melech Zaken Uksil. The Yetzer is called Melech Zaken Uksil. Now, Zaken he is. He's been around for a long time. Why is he Uksil? He's not a fool. I mean, you know, we've all dealt with the Yetzer Hara. He's not a fool. So why is it called Uksil? He says, you know, a person who works with glass is called a glazier. A person who works with wood is called a woodworker. The Yetzer Hara is called Uksil because that's his job. He deals with fools. All right. What deals with fools? This conversation is what you've been through. This conversation 17 times, 100 times, 200 times. This time, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm just going to say one thing, and then we'll go back to learning. How many times have you said that it didn't work? So why do you believe this time is going to be different? Because Tyrus is what? You're an idiot. Good. So that's what he says. Melech Zaken Uksil. He deals with Uksilim. So why don't we realize that? It's totally logical. Right? I mean, they ascribe to Einstein, it says that the definition of lunacy is doing the same thing over and over again expecting to get different results. So this, we're lunatics. So that's all I'm going to do is like, you know, I don't want to be a lunatic today. I really don't want to be defined as a ruach shtus. Because I'll say, chayta means you get a ruach shtus. That's us. Whether it's the one potato chip, which ends up being, you know, my diet goes every time with that one potato, just one potato chip. Or the person says one cigarette, or the alcoholic says one drink, or the person says one piece of batola, or the person says 1 minute that he ends up coming late to davening. He's, I'm not coming late to davening today. I never come late. But it's one thing I got to take care of. But you've done that hundreds of times. So listen, Rabbi Shai, what can I tell you? This room, myself included, we're in an insane asylum. Because I'll say, Ruach Shtus. So let's challenge ourselves and say, why are we being insane? That's a year's harnish. Gehenna is not working by us. You know, I don't see the fires of Gehenna, but I see the fires of my as soon as I do it, I say, I can't believe I did this. I feel like in my stomach it hurts. It hurts in my stomach. Why did I do this? Not in my mind, in my stomach it hurts. If it hurts in my stomach, so why am I doing it? That's my year of sarnish. Again, the problem isn't here. The problem is we don't have a sincerity that we want something. We sincerely want it. The Bacha sincerely wanted the bris milah. He didn't have, but the pachad overcame him. But also, it's not pachad. So we don't even have his nisoyan. We have other things. And they're different nisoyan. Maybe they're bigger nisoyan. But that's our challenge. I would suggest the following. In the area that you want to change, keep a cheshbon and nefesh for a week. But how many times you didn't want to do it and you did it? Because this is what you can't gloss over. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I promise I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to say Lashon Hara, I'm not going to say Sheker, I'm not going to look at someone's not supposed to look at, I'm not going to obey, whatever it was, that you may, I'm going to come on time to davening. How many times this week it didn't happen? And the honest, if you look at that piece of paper in your face, that's Yiras HaEinish. The pang of that, of your conscience, I can't believe I just did this. It's so overwhelming that the next week will be better. That is my suggestion. So our Yiras HaRoimus Baruch Hashem, we have sincerity, we really do want it. We're trying to find a language that speaks to the goof. The language that speaks to the goof is the pain in my stomach when I feel like such an idiot. After I let myself be fooled by the same stupid ploy hundreds of times, again and again and again. And if I could translate that into Lamaisa, we've set ourselves to a mahalach which will let us take those things which we truly absorb during the Yom Neroyim and translate into a Lamaisa for a winter ahead of us. There should be a winter Bataka where we have a Matzliach in our davening, in our learning, in our Shemiras HaMitzvahs, in our Beidon L'Chaveroi, in our personal goals, our personal growth. Be'ezras Hashem, it should be a winter of tremendous accomplishment because we've learned how to take control of our reality as opposed to the reality taking control of us.